715's Newsmakers on the stations of Midwest Family Eau Claire. I'm John Murphy. We're going to talk about kindness and kind of unlocking kindness today. That's one of the things we're going to do in mental health. We're going to get into that. And we're going to talk with Kirsten Perard, the founder, and Stacey Francois, the director of Rewind and Real Foundation, and some special things that are coming up here that you can get involved in and to help out with the overall mental health awareness picture. And let's start there, because that seems like a very broad topic to tackle. But sometimes, as you found out, sometimes it's a step at a time, right? It's little by little, learn little things, and you can help people out like you wouldn't believe.
Absolutely. So we want to just take daily little steps to make positive change. So that's what we do. Kindness is a huge part of that. Kindness to ourselves, kindness to others. But all of our initiatives are really built on just those little activities that we can do every day to improve our mental health and overall well-being, as well as, you know, implementing kindness throughout our community.
Let's talk a little bit about the Unlocking the Kindness Challenge that is coming up in May here. Talk a little bit about that. What does that entail? What's involved in all that?
So the Unlocking Kindness Challenge will take place May 5th through the 11th. We decided to really start with this initiative through, we joined the mental health awareness committees in Eau Claire and Chippewa County. And being a part of those committees, we really realized like what is needed throughout the state of Wisconsin, but also our community. And we need to get resources out there, but we also need to focus on little things that we all can do, everybody, all ages, to improve our overall mental health and wellness. So that is what this challenge is about. It takes place May 5th through the 11th. Super simple to get involved. We're partnering with a number of area schools, organizations, businesses who are taking this on as a wellness initiatives for their employees and staff. It is free to participate. You scan a QR code or click a link from an email that will opt you in. And then each day we're sending out text messages and emails of little things that we can do to improve our mental health and overall wellness. And if you do those things, then you get into daily giveaways and incentives and fun things like that. So we're super excited about it.
Let's talk about the name because it means a lot. It was well thought out to be Rewired and Real Foundation, because it's two big parts there. If you could share a little bit with that. The Rewired part of this is that with this piece of kindness and mental health, part of what has to take place is we've got to change our way of thinking, right? We got to find a different way of getting at things.
Absolutely. So it's rewiring the way that we look at mental health and overall well-being to have real conversations, encourage real conversations with real impact. And so that's where the name came from. The Unlocking Kindness Challenge is really all about unlocking, you know, yourself, unlocking those pieces of yourself that we maybe push away, that we don't want to notice, that we haven't been taught to look at, and really take those daily little steps that we can do to improve, you know, ourselves and in effect others. So with the challenge, we're super excited that we're also going to be launching a book. So think of Chicken Soup for the Soul, but right here in our own community. It's called Turn the Page, and you can share your story of resilience, bravery, courage, kindness, for others to see that they're not alone on this walk and this journey of life, and that, you know, there are other people that are going through the same things. There is hope, and, you know, we can come through anything. So
I love the title of the book, by the way, but for a completely different reason. I like it for the Bob Seger song that, by the way, was the inspiration for that was Eau Claire, Wisconsin. He happened to be touring through here and saw what was going on and saw a few things and created the song Turn the Page and kind of created a noir sort of song. There's an interesting little sidelight there. The real part of this that's so important is that I think there are a fair amount of people that want to do something. They want to help. They know it's an issue, but where do you start? Mm-hmm. And what makes it real rather than, you know, we could talk philosophy all day long, but this is actually real, tangible things that people can do, right?
Absolutely. So I don't know, Stacey, do you want to touch on this? Okay. So it's what we've noticed is we want things that all ages, anybody can exactly tangibly do each and every day. If we're looking at a whole entire curriculum or something that is difficult to, you know, wrap your head around, it's going to be more complicated to do. So we've worked with UW students, CBTC students, nursing, mental health advocates to come up with what are little things every day, real things that everybody can take part in to improve their mental health and well-being. It might be journaling. It might be getting out in nature. Pets and wildlife are, you know, huge things that we can do to improve our mental health. Music therapy, art, like the list goes on and on. Music, there's so many things that can help. So we will be sending out 5 different simple activities that you can do. And our hope is through our call to action that we have individuals taking part in these things. And then they realize, wow, I did this and this made me feel this way. This helped me in this way. So very tangible, very real things that, all individuals can take part in.
Rewired and Real. We'll talk some more about unlocking kindness. We'll do that in part 2 of our conversation with Kirsten Berard and Stacey Francois from Rewired and Real. We'll do that next weekend here on 715's Newsmakers. 715's Newsmakers on the stations of Midwest Family Eau Claire. It's back once again for a 22nd big year from Literacy Chippewa Valley. Scrabble Bee returns, but a new location. Elizabeth Hart is with us, the executive director from Literacy Chippewa Valley. Let's talk a little bit about the new location is the Brewing Project, which is a fun, fun place.
It's a great place. They'll serve the beer, and we have free refreshments and Scrabble, and it'll be a lot of fun.
So, and the date is
May 2nd.
May 2nd. So it's a Thursday night?
It's a Thursday night, and registration at 5. The first game will start at 6. There will be 3 timed rounds. This is a little bit different. Scrabble with a twist. Instead of each person taking their own turn, you play as a team and try to fill the board with really high point value words.
And it is so much fun because you're collaborating. I've done about 3 or 4 different roles. I've been kind of MC for the night. I've been a word waiter, which is fun. Mm-hmm. I've been on teams where I've been able to play with others, and it's so much fun forming the words and doing all these different things. I think we've called it this before. I don't know if it's exactly appropriate, but it's kind of like Scrabble on steroids. I mean, it's like cranked way up,
Yep.
It's and yet do you still do the hare or the tortoise division?
Yes, we have 2 divisions. We have the hare version, which is fast and timed. Otherwise, you can just play regular Scrabble where you take a turn, and that's called the tortoise version. In fact, we have a team. Kathy Schneider and Calvin's Cadre will be there. They play on a braille board, which is really interesting. And
they know words, by the way. Boy, do they ever know words. Boy, do they ever know words. Smart people, very smart people. But the thing is, what I love about this is you can be at all level of your word knowledge and still have a lot of fun and still offer up words, because you might spot something that somebody else doesn't spot that's kind of in your world, where you know some of those words from those particular parts. The other rules, if you will, of Scrabble pretty much hold up. You've got your double letter scores and your triple word scores and those kinds of things. But there's some wrinkles in this that make this possible. Also, you can have some food. You can have some adult beverages or other beverages, whatever is of your interest. And it's just a fun time to get together with. Maybe it's like friends or an organization. The other thing is, come have a fun night playing Scrabble. The sidelight is, you're helping out Literacy Chippewa Valley. You may be one of those people that says, well, I don't read books much, or I don't do this, or I don't. Trust me, literacy changes everything. That's the core. That's the building block of everything else we do. So if we support this and we can help our friends and neighbors with something as simple as playing some Scrabble, simple and fun is playing some Scrabble, we're helping everybody out. That's kind of the long-range goal. As we talk a little bit more, and Elizabeth Hart is with us from Literacy Chippewa Valley, let's talk about a few of the programs that are offered by Literacy Chippewa Valley, because there's a lot of different, I guess I'll call it spokes to this, in terms of who is being helped by Literacy Chippewa Valley. It could be families. It could be people that are studying for their citizenship. It could be people through the prisons. I mean, there's all kinds of, or through the jails, there's all kinds of programs that Literacy Chippewa Valley offers.
We sure do. We have 3 main programs. That's corrections education, as you mentioned.
Right.
We're in Chippewa, Dunn, and Eau Claire County jails. And we have English language learning classes for immigrants. We used to have just a morning class, but now we have a night class.
Oh, nice.
So there's 2 opportunities for people to come. And then we also do one-to-one tutoring. So this is where we pair an individual, a volunteer, and with someone who needs some education help. And they determine their goals and what they want to do. And then the tutor meets with them about once a week for about an hour.
We'll have more next week with Elizabeth Hart, Executive Director of Literacy Chippewa Valley, about Scrabble B and some of the services provided by Literacy Chippewa Valley. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week here on 715's Newsmakers. Talk with Michelle Reinen from Wisconsin DadCam. Financial Literacy Awareness Month. There's also several different variations on debt relief scams. Tell me how these work a little bit.
Yeah, so knowing how to identify a debt relief scam is to remember that you never have to pay anyone who tries to collect fees up front. With debt relief scams, they offer to help you reduce or wipe out your debt, and those sound like perfect solutions, but there's a lot of dishonest companies out there who'll just take your money and do little or nothing to help. And some of the ways they do that is by asking for those fees up front for the services they say they're going to provide, and then end up doing nothing at all. So that's why that's an illegal practice. And they also try to make guarantees to you. Some will say that they can get you into a new government program for just a small fee, or they try to enroll you without first actually having a conversation and reviewing your financial situation. Again, that's all just part of their scam.
Michelle Reinen is with us from Wisconsin DadCap here on 715's Newsmakers. We're talking a little bit about financial literacy. It's Financial Literacy Awareness Month and some of the things you can do to, to stop the scammers and to protect yourselves from a lot of different dangers that are out there. Michelle, I was going to pass this along, that actually a tip I had received from you several months ago, actually, came to fruition a little bit, in which you've always said, A, get it in writing, but also read the writing that is given to you and read it carefully and read it closely. And we had one of those where we received something in the mail that looked completely legit, and I was all set up to probably engage in some kind of phone call for some important information. We had an appointment set up. Everything was rolling until I looked on the back of it and looked a little closer and looked a little deeper and found out, oh, no, this is... And this is that borderline thing. It's not a flat-out scam because they are clever enough. You got to separate the difference, too. There are the scammers. They're just flat-out crooks, and they know it, and they're operating. And then there are those that are not exactly crooks, but they know how to wiggle around the, you know, they are representing an insurance company, and legally they can do this. Legally they can send this card. They've worked that all out because in the fine print, on the back of the card, if you look very carefully, it says this is for a solicitation of insurance and is not connected to any governmental agency. That's when the warning sign went on for me. I'm like, oh, somebody is trying to work me over here, and I'm not going to let them do it. Thanks to something I learned from Michelle Reinen from Wisconsin DadCap is, you know, not only just get it in writing, but also make sure you read the writing that is being given to you to make sure it's, trust but verify, and don't be afraid to verify. That's a good idea to do. Sometimes verify with a couple different sources. Don't just count on
absolutely
one. You know, find a couple different people to make sure that, is this legitimate? What am I doing? And people you trust, people you can trust. Let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about this, because also in April, we commemorate a tornado and severe awareness week, which happens in the early part of the month here. But we also keep this in mind as we get a little later on, as we get closer to May and things are a little more likely that we get severe weather and storms. The best thing is be prepared, and also kind of be prepared. Have some people you'd call, you might be able to trust if you do have damage, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. That's where consumer protection comes in on severe weather awareness, is being financially prepared. Recovering from a disaster can take time and money, and you might need access to your personal financial insurance, medical, and other records, you know, whether you're at home or and able to stay there, or whether or not you need to leave your home. And you want to be sure that you know how to access those things securely. And some of that might be keeping a list with your emergency bag, your go-to situation. And that's the other piece, is being prepared by having a list of trusted resources, including contractors. And we suggest having that in your emergency kit, because it can be as simple as a piece of paper or a few business cards. But you've done the research and the work up front when you've had time, when you can ask the questions. You can talk to friends, family, neighbors, and even insurance agents before you need those contractors. So imagine different scenarios and what can happen, and then just search out that information. You may have to update it from time to time based on how businesses ebb and flow, but if you can do that research up front and check for complaints, get a copy of our Home Improvement Consumer Tips fact sheet, put that in your emergency kit, that's going to be really valuable when you're under stress and under pressure to have to respond. You'll know what questions to ask a contractor. You'll know what information you want to get in writing. And you'll be set up so you can close the door on any storm chaser who's moving neighborhood to neighborhood in order to respond to a disaster or some kind of weather incident. And you won't be in that position where you're needing to rely on those kinds of contractors.
This is another one where I put a little bit of the cautionary note up, because there are plenty of legitimate contractors that are doing the right thing, that are responsible, that are not scamming you. This is how they make a living, and they do a great job doing what they do. The unfortunate thing with scammers is that they also break down the credibility of those that are doing the right thing and are following the right path. So don't fault them. Don't blame them for the bad actors out there. Make sure, but trust but verify. We've talked about that before, but check into that. But that doesn't mean, well, I hate all contractors and I just won't get the work done. No. That's not it. Just make sure you get the right ones doing the right thing and responsible. Michelle Reiner's with us from Wisconsin DadCap as we talk consumer issues. 715's Newsmakers on the stations, Midwest Family, Eau Claire. I'm John Murphy. We do enjoy from time to time, I'll be honest, we don't get an opportunity to talk about it enough, and that is diversity and the importance of diversity in all aspects of our life, a workplace being one of them, but also social settings and with nonprofits, with all sorts of other things. The whole issue of how to approach diversity. Eric Giordano is with us, for the executive director of WIPS. Now, what does WIPS actually stand for? I shorten it there, but what does it stand for?
Yeah, sure. It's the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. And since it's a mouthful, we just kind of go by WIPS, and that's how people know us.
Yep.
And just an important point, we're a unit of the Universities of Wisconsin, so I actually report to the system president, Jay Rothman, and we kind of work for all 13 universities.
There is a huge conference that is coming. It's called the Toward One Conference, and that is coming to the Pablo Center, which will be in early May, and there's a special webinar that's going to go before that. And let's talk a little bit about that. Maybe I can start with this pretty broad question, that is, what do you hope to accomplish through the conference? What are some of the things that you hope to do?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. This is the fifth year of the conference, so we have a bit of a track record. And so one of the things that we've seen is critically valuable with the conference is that we bring together people who are working in this space across multiple sectors, business, health, education, even community work, government work. And so it's really an opportunity for people from across different sectors to come together and talk about critical issues that affect all of them. Sometimes they intersect with these different sectors, but in most of these kind of conferences around the country, you don't really get that cross section. Like, there'll be a group of people more like from one profession or one entity that talk about it, but not across sectors. So that's a really critical takeaway, is that people can come together. And so communities learn from each other, right? So we're hosting this, or the city of Eau Claire is hosting it. And so, we want to learn what is happening in that area in this space, but we also want to be informed by what's happening in Green Bay and Appleton and Milwaukee. What are the best ideas that can rise to the surface here and be shared across different geographies? So that's really one really big takeaway.
One of the things with diversity and that particular issue is, for one, how broad it is and how much it encompasses. And also, and I think you've faced this and others that work in this sort of realm face this from time to time. People tend to shut a door to it. They almost say, oh, that's not something I really work with. I don't really need to, you know, focus any attention on that. That really, that doesn't pay attention to me. You know, I don't need to pay attention to that, rather. I think from that standpoint, people start waking up to the idea, wait a minute, this is about all of us. So we're all, yes, this will cross your desk and should cross your desk on a regular basis. This is how society works and needs to work. And this can be a real eye-opener and a learning experience for people. How do people participate in the conference? Do they register ahead of time? How will this work?
Well, let me just respond quickly to
Sure.
your comment, because I think it's really important that we acknowledge that terms like diversity and equity and even inclusion sometimes, you know, get politicized.
Right.
And, you know, have different meanings and definitions. And we are cognizant of this fact, and it is a challenge. And so sometimes the way we want to talk about it with people is to say, listen, are we in favor of discrimination? Are we in favor of racism? Are we in favor of bias against veterans, against people with disabilities? The answer, of course, is no. So we're trying to come up with strategies on how to live in a society, including, you know, in our jobs, in our homes, in our communities, that are free of these kind of things. And so that's really a lot of what the focus is on. And I wish we didn't get caught up in some of the political gymnastics around the definitions of words, because I think we all want to live in a society where we feel we have, you know, our basic rights are respected, right? And the Constitution is respected. And this is really what it's all about, is ensuring that people are treated fairly in the workplace, as well as in society.
Eric, I want to jump. No, that's right. I want to jump back to something that you said earlier, because it's an interesting point. For instance, it wasn't as if, and this is how communication has to work within our society. I was not contacted specifically by someone from the university, or specifically by somebody from WIPS, or even someone that works in the inclusion and diversity and equality and all those sorts of issues. It was a friend of a friend of a friend, so to speak. I was actually contacted by the Pablo Center and Visit Eau Claire, because we do a lot of work together there. And it was one of those possibilities that was like, here's something you really should talk about. And I totally agreed. I thought, absolutely, this needs to be on our, you know, this needs to be in the forefront. So I think that's part of what these conferences can be, is kind of the eye-opener to all of us that we all play a role in all of this. And especially depending upon, everybody feels included until they're not. And that can happen at any particular time, whether that's through disability, whether you'd mentioned there may be some discrimination against veterans, there might be discrimination against the elderly, there could be racism, sexism, all the other things. And it's easy for some people sometimes to say, that's really not a thing for me. I really don't need to get too involved in all that, until something happens and they go, wait a minute, I see where I was excluded from some place that I should have been included in. I'm concerned about this. And concern's not a bad thing. Concern's a good thing. That's why we all should be involved in all that. Eric, I kind of jumped ahead, and I was asking some specifics there about the conference coming up on May 7th and 8th, and we want to get to that. We want to let people know, how do they go about registering for this, or who comes to this sort of thing?
Right. Well, frankly, we purposely cast a wide net, so it includes a lot of potential audiences, everyone from, you know, local government to health sectors, both clinical and public health, but also education, both K-12 and higher ed, but also community organizations and community-based organizations that are working with on all sorts of issues and concerns in our communities, and businesses. So not just businesses, but let me broaden it to employers generally, because we talk a lot about employment issues. So really, and our marketing folks hate when I say this, but really the conference is for everybody, because, you know, it really cuts across, as I said earlier, all sectors and impacts all the work that we're all doing in our organizations and communities.
We will have more of our conversation with Eric Giordano, the WIPS Executive Director, about the Toward One Wisconsin Conference. We'll have that next week here on 715's Newsmakers. Coming up next week on 715's Newsmakers, we catch up with B.J. Hollers. He's the author of a new book, Wisconsin for Kennedy. We'll talk a little bit with B.J. about how that book came together and the story behind the story. We've got that coming up. We also will have a part two of our conversation with Michelle Reinen from Wisconsin DATCAP about some consumer issues. We talk more about unlocking kindness with Rewind and Real with Kirsten and Stacy from Rewired and Real. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. And we've got part two of our conversation with WIPS Executive Director Eric Giordano about Toward One Wisconsin, a very special conference that is coming to Eau Claire, all about diversity and diversity at all levels and bringing us all together. We'll have that next week here on 715's Newsmakers. Just a reminder, if you have a suggestion for a possibility of a program, an interview, an issue you think we need to cover, certainly reach out to me, John Murphy at MidwestFamilyEC.com. That's John Murphy at MidwestFamilyEC.com. Feel free to drop me a note and tell me a little bit about what it is you think we might be able to interview. And just a reminder to kind of a producer's note here, we'll return to more of our conversations regarding Chippewa Valley Triage and the ongoing health care crisis with the closing of HSHS, Sacred Heart Hospital, and St. Joseph's Hospital, and the closing of the Prevea Clinics here in western Wisconsin. So we're going to delve more into that and continue on. That is far from a resolved issue. That continues to be an issue, and we'll talk with more of the people playing a role in all of that. So we'll have more of that coming up in upcoming weeks here, Chippewa Valley Triage, on 715's Newsmakers. Make it a great Sunday.